So you're going to have, I'll be doing this first.
We have to get the high sign from Bruce and Matt.
Bruce said he's not going to object.
You know, introduction?
Yeah.
Okay. Ask Matt if he is, because we
made
him.
Made the trip over here?
I did.
Just for this?
Yes.
Or you want to admit it?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Are you okay with that?
Noticing we've got some spaces here.
You never know, because he's there on the floor.
No.
Oh. Gene's not coming?
Good morning. I want to call to order the House Committee on Land Use on Saturday, February 28, 2009, meeting at the Deschutes County Fairgrounds in beautiful Redmond. And if we might start, members of the committee and members of the audience, the good mayor of Redmond wants to welcome us. Thank you, Mayor Endicott.
Thank you, ma'am. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and distinguished members of the group. And I'd also like to personally welcome Representative Stichler, who is one of our local representatives, and Senator Telfer, who have also come over to join us and hear the testimony today that's going to be presented. As you all know, this has been a big issue for us in Central Oregon. Right here in Redmond, we have 7 destination resorts either in place or planned within 10 miles. Of the city, so these kinds of issues certainly impact us, and we all know what's going on in the immediate area, all the way from the Magolias out to the east of here, way both to the north and south as well. So anyway, I think it's a really important meeting. I want to thank the group for willing to take your time during this really busy legislative session to come over and spend some time with us. So without further ado, I'll turn it back over. Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. I also wanted to give special thanks to legislative colleagues who don't serve on this committee but who were interested in this topic and wanted to spend some time listening to your testimony as well, Representative Stigler from Bend and Senator Telfer from the Bend-Redmond area here. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for coming.
You bet. We are going to do just a tiny bit of business here that is pretty technical in nature, but while I have a quorum of my committee, I'm going to take advantage of that. So I am going to open a work session for the purpose of bill introductions. Representative Garrett.
Madam Chair, I move the following LC drafts be introduced as committee bills. LC 1780, dated January 15, 2009. LC 3510, dated February 9, 2009. LC 1789, dated January 23, 2009. LC 1776, dated January 29, 2009. LC 3230, dated February 23, 2009. LC 2586, dated February 25, 2009. And LC 1787, dated December 3, 2008.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Garrett moves that the following LCs be introduced as committee bills. LC 1780, LC 3510, LC 1789, LC 1776, LC 3230, LC 2586, and LC 1787. Is there objection?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hanna.
Not objection. You did mention that this was a little bit technical in nature. I wondered if you might describe for the audience that though a bill is introduced as a committee bill, it is not necessarily agreeable to all members of the committee.
I think you've explained that very well. Just so you know, Monday is the last day to introduce bills for consideration in this legislative session. Since this committee does not meet Monday, this becomes our last opportunity to put bills into consideration. And by agreeing to introduce them, all we do is agree to have them debated. No one on this committee takes a position in favor or opposed to any of the bills we're introducing today. And so nothing here binds anyone to a future position on any of these bills. I appreciate the explanation.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Now, I will open the public hearing on House Bill 2227. And let me explain how we'll proceed this morning. The purpose of this public hearing, which will consume the rest of our time today, is to hear testimony on this bill, which is relating to destination resorts. We welcome specific testimony on that bill, but we also want to welcome testimony generally on the subject of destination resorts. We came here specifically to listen to you. The committee will spend its time listening to testimony. We will not be debating among ourselves the merits of the bill or the merits of anything you say. We are absorbing information. While this bill is about destination resort regulations statewide, we certainly are mindful, as the mayor mentioned and as we've been paying attention, that there are very specific issues of interest here locally, and we expect and would welcome testimony on that during today's hearing as well. But we will remind you also that while this is a very big issue here, it is an issue of statewide concern, and we will have other hearings on this subject back in Salem before we take any other action. So do not expect us to approve any bill today. We're not going to open a work session to move a bill. We want to hear from you first and absorb your testimony. This is, in fact, the first hearing that this committee is holding on this subject, and I think it's appropriate that we should have that first hearing at this location. We will hear first a brief overview of the current law and the reason that the Department of Land Conservation and Development introduced this bill and asked the legislature to consider it. And then I will go to public testimony after we hear that presentation. We will, after the presentation, I will first hear from elected officials who are here to testify. Then we will bring people up as you've signed up in groups of five to fill the seats at the witness table. And I will give you a heads up when you're the next group coming so that you can maybe start to get ready and move out to the side aisles and be ready to fill those chairs so that we can hear from as many people as possible. We are recording this testimony today both to keep a record of the testimony and because three of our committee members could not make it today and they will want to review your testimony and listen to it as well. So please make sure, as I have been reminded, that you are close enough to the microphone so that your messages are recorded and able to be understood by the people who are not here today. We also are very happy to accept written comments. If you have more to say than you can say in 2 minutes, please submit written comments either today or you can submit them in a follow-up letter to our committee administrator, Ms. Ross. At the start of your testimony, so that our record is complete, please give your name and your county of residence. I'll remind you from time to time if you forget to do that. Make sure that when you testify, you put your most important messages up front so that if your time runs out, we've heard the thing that you most care that we hear. And again, supplement it with written comments if you would like. Ms. Ross will be our timekeeper today and will notify you when you are you have only 30 seconds remaining. We will try to hear from as many people as possible. That's the reason we put time limits on each individual speaker, and we will stay until 2 o'clock when we are adjourning. We plan to work straight through that time, and that may mean you will see occasionally one or another member of the committee get up to use the facilities or get lunch or something like that. I thought about taking a break, but that would take time away from you being able to testify, so we may have a working lunch up here, and I hope you will understand that the reason we do that is so more of you get a chance to testify. With those ground rules understood, I'd like to call Michael Morrissey with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Please, Mr. Morrissey.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Michael Morrissey. I'm a policy analyst for the Department of Land Conservation.
Excuse me. Can everyone hear him well enough? Okay, you're good.
Good. With me is Doug White, who's the department representative here in Central Oregon, and he also has an extensive background in the issues of destination resorts, so he can answer questions if you have some and help me out. I have given four handouts to the committee, an example of one of which is up on the wall there, and that is a map of destination resorts in Central Oregon, both approved destination resorts and areas that the counties have mapped. There are also two tables which I've given you. One is a table of the approved destination resorts, and one is a table of entities that are like destination resorts. For example, those resorts that were approved prior to the state land use system, Salishan, Black Butte, and others that were created under not under Goal 8, but under exceptions process such as abandoned dunes. So we tried to give you a good background of what is already existing in terms of resorts and Goal 8 destination resorts. I've also given you a one-page summary of the bill, House Bill 2227, which, as the chair said, is an agency bill. Destination resorts, just a very brief background of what they are and how they got here. As I said, there were resorts that were planned and built prior to the state land use program in the 60s and 70s, and some examples are Salishan, Sun River, Otter Crest, Black Butte. In the 70s and 80s, as the state land use program was being developed, the issue of destination resorts or resort planning came up. At this point, there was new development on rural lands, primarily farm and forest lands, were restricted to these types of resorts were restricted because the state land use program was trying to protect farm and forest land, so that if a resort was going to be created, it had to be done so under an exception process, which was often time consuming, long, and in some cases costly. At that point, new resorts were proposed for sensitive areas such as the Hood River Valley and the coast. There was a task force in 82, which was headed by then-to-be Governor Attia, as called the Hansel Land Use Task Force. They noted that there were no provisions in state laws for destination resorts as such, that they determined that the exceptions process really was a barrier to creating them, and they recommended state land use laws that would actually help accommodate destination resorts more easily. So in 1984, the LCDC did approve adding into Goal 8, statewide planning Goal 8, provisions for the creation of destination resorts. Some of the things that they helped do then was define what is a destination resort, what was the critical mass of amenities, size, and other characteristics of resorts, overnight lodging, meeting facilities, developed recreational facilities. And they concluded that in order to do these, you did in fact need a large rural site. The objectives then of these resorts were to attract visitors for longer stays, generate taxes with low demand for public services, and serve destination tourism. The minimums or the floors for the creation of these resorts were 160 acres in size. 50% of the footprint had to be open space. At that time, a $7 million, which I believe if you account for inflation is more now, but $7 million in developed recreational facilities, 150 units of overnight lodging, and a limit on the ratio of overnight to permanent lodging. Also, there were some objectives then excluded where resorts could and couldn't go, and that's where we have the language that has to do with you, excluded areas are within 3 miles of high-value croplands, sites with prime or unique soils, especially sensitive big game habitat are all areas that are excluded. 8 counties have now mapped, adopted resort mapping and mapped, and those are Deschutes, Douglas, Crook, Klamath, Jefferson, Jackson, Josephine, and Tillamook. And other counties have used the exception process, as I've named. So that brings us to House Bill 2227. So the Commission did hear, both independently and from various types of communications, the need to kind of re-examine what was the intention of resorts and are they functioning now as they were originally planned. I want to say one thing about two issues that have come up. One is that this does not, 2227, does not, it removes language from statute, but it retains language in the goal so that destination resorts can continue. This bill does not prohibit destination resorts from continuing. Another issue is that people have brought to my attention there's some confusion about farmland versus cropland. The intention of this measure as written is that cropland is still going to be the operative phrase, and I'm hearing beeping, so I think I'm out of time. I'm glad to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Committee, I'd like to limit our questions, if we have any, and I'm not encouraging them, to clarifying what Mr. Morrissey said. If there are any questions that need clarification, fine, but I'm going to limit us to 3 minutes. Representative Clem.
Just one, Michael. You just described the bill, and some of us are looking at a letter we have. I think it's probably about a different bill. It would declare a moratorium, and it's got an emergency clause. I just wanted to make sure that that's not this bill, and this letter is about some other effort potentially.
There is a separate bill that does that, and this bill does not declare a moratorium nor stop resort development.
Thanks.
Thanks for the clarification. Although, if there is testimony on that issue, we will take that today as well, just because we're here and we don't want to make you come all the way to Salem to give us that testimony. Any other clarifications? Representative Hanna.
Thank you. Briefly, do you know the other bill number?
I do not know the other bill number right now. I'm sorry, Representative and Chair.
Senate bill.
Ross?
Do you happen to know the other bill number?
I don't off the top of my head.
Representative Hanna, we'll get that information to you by Monday.
It'd be good, because somebody who's writing about this, if we could get them the bill number, it'd
yep.
be
okay.
It'd be good.
Thank you.
They're there.
Oh, we know someone. Yeah.
Senate Bill 430.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Morrissey. Thank you, Mr. White. I'd like to call Mayor Endicott, Commissioner Unger, and Commissioner Lundquist. Mr. Mayor.
Good morning once again, and once again, thank you very much for coming to Central Oregon to receive testimony today. I am George Endicott, a resident of Deschutes County and mayor of Redmond. My comments will be brief, as I have provided you with a written set of testimony specifically that address transportation issues as they impact cities in close proximity to destination resorts. As I've already mentioned, there are seven destination resorts either planned or in place within 10 miles of Redmond, and it's pretty clear on the map what those are. The areas of concern to Redmond that have been over time have generally been in the area of transportation, which that memo I provided you discusses, employment, and the impacts destination resorts have on employment, and more importantly, employment housing, because it's not too glib to say that most of the people that work at destination resorts can't afford to live there. So they end up living in the communities, doing commuting, impacting transportation that way, and so forth. So I just want to bring that to your attention. Water use has been a big discussion item, and here in the Deschutes River Basin, you know, we have some pretty strict water resource issues, in particular with the reintroduction of endangered species. So we have to monitor water use very carefully, and we wish that you would take into consideration the water use issues when you revisit the destination resort impacts. And finally, the different set of urbanization rules that destination resorts have. We have some very strict rules, as you know, that we have to follow when we expand our urban growth boundaries or change any infrastructure, zoning, and so forth. And we do know that destination resorts don't have those same hurdles that they must leap in order to succeed in building one. So we'd ask you to look at that, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect timing, Mr. Mayor. You've set a wonderful example.
Thank you.
Commissioner Unger.
George must have been in Toastmasters. Chair Nolan and committee members, my name is Alan Unger. I'm the new Deschutes County Commissioner and past mayor of Redmond, and I've been in local government for 16 years and been on some state committees. The intent of House Bill 2227 is to remove the destination resort rules from state law, but leave them in the land use goals so the Land Conservation and Development Commissioners can review the 30-year-old law and continue to administer Goal 8. I think it is a good time to have a review. Destination resorts were proposed when our main source of county funds and regional jobs from timber vanished. Sun River was an example of how tourism and recreation filled the gap. Law was written, patterned after the challenges Eagle Crest was having to develop and get past Goal 8. It has worked for Deschutes County. Destination resorts pay $28 million each year in property tax and $2.5 million in room tax. That is more value than the combined commercial industrial land in Bend and Redmond. These funds help us serve and protect our citizens. Every county needs a destination resort to support its general fund. They have low impacts and serve and have high value. Construction jobs are the base of our economy. The Governor's Fiscal Reform Task Force showed that local governments are having trouble collecting enough funds to meet the needs of government. But the rules and our attitudes has put us in the situation we are today. Siting on non-resource lands puts them on land without water and in rural areas. Bypassing many transportation issues puts pressure on rural roads and state highways. No commercial activity means a reliance on housing to make a resort pencil and to be close to cities to shop and eat. The recreational improvements have focused on golf and the need for more water. The three-mile buffer from high crop value land contributes to the problems in Jefferson County and the Metolius Basin. The 24-mile limit around a city of 100,000 population, which Bend will be soon, has made a push to site new resorts now and not later, like in Crook County. We need to reflect and find balance. Deschutes County plans to review its destination map and take a lot of land off the map, and this bill helps that process. Local control is very important. Limiting local control does not help our citizens. I believe I have more balance than the commissioner I replaced, and in closing, I support House Bill 2227 in concept and look forward to working with the Land Conservation Development Commissioners to improve the rules so that they work for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Lundquist. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Chair Nolan. It's great to have you over here. It's really interesting to look at this committee and see the chair being the majority leader, and we have the minority leader here. I think that says a lot about this committee. You have obviously some serious work to do. First of all, I'd like to say that I believe the destination resorts, the requirements need to be analyzed. But I'm fearful that this bill is not that. This bill is sort of a body slam. To me, this is basically a gut and stuff of the destination resort regulations. It essentially gives the control to LCDC, which obviously puts that in the executive branch, not in the legislative branch. If you read sections 2, sub 1, sub B, it says this: the Land Conservation and Development Commission shall update key requirements and address issues through special studies and, as necessary, through the amendment of statewide land use planning goals or the adoption of administrative rules. For all of you and for those of us who have been in the legislative process, administrative rules are really scary. They are very, very scary. And so this is really gives a great deal of power to LCDC. The bill does lay out all the problems associated with destination resorts, and there are some. And I believe, however, that in some cases it overstates them. For example, it says that with destination resorts, there's no that impact other counties that that determinations are not made that alleviate some of that. And I'll let you know that's not always true. Hidden Canyon, for example, in Crook County has the responsibility, financial responsibility, to pay for intersections in Deschutes County. So at the local level, we have done a lot of that. This also in this bill, it seems to me that this is a continuation of the attempt to not let compensation be a part of Measure 49. because if you read the very end of the bill, it uses a language, I don't know, look at that, but the very end says this, that Section 7 of this Act applies to destination resorts approved before, on, or after the effective date of this 2007 Act. And that applies to Chapter 7, or Section 7, which refers to residents and how you define that. So I think it's we need to look at this, but I want to be careful that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. In Powell Butte, we have four destination resorts that are in there or will be provided. Well, we have three. One might not be because it's being appealed now. But as you probably know, in Powell Butte, in Crook County, we had an initiative to limit destination resorts, to outlaw them for 3 years. Give us that opportunity to do that. This, I think, will not allow that. This simply is going to put the requirements such that it's going to be very difficult to build destination resorts in the future, and my good colleague on the left talked about the financial impact. So again, thank you for coming. I think you usually come here to play. Today you came to work. Thank you.
And Commissioner, I neglected to remind you to put your name in county on the record. We know who you are, but the recording doesn't.
Okay. Lynn Lundquist, Crook County Commissioner, Powell Butte.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Commissioners.
Just a quick question.
Representative.
Of the two county commissioners. I was just hoping both of you gentlemen would give me the current unemployment rate in your counties.
Go ahead.
I'm just guessing, but I think it's around 8%.
I was turned. The unemployment rate you're talking about?
Yes.
It's 14% in Crook County, and well, the good judge says it's going to go to 20. I don't think it goes quite that high. I think 18 will stop it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And tomorrow it might be 10%.
I apologize, Thanks. Ma'am. I'm getting over this crud, so.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much. Okay. I'd like to call Matt Cyrus, Pat Surier. Jack Remington, Doug Hancock, and Jack Remington. On deck, I will have Kyle Kirshner, Kevin McDaniel, Chuck Defoe, Neil Hennis, and Linda Barron. Oops. Okay. Is Mr. Cyrus ready?
Yes.
Please begin.
My name is Matt Cyrus. I reside in Deschutes County. Our family has actually been here since before it was Deschutes County. We homesteaded here in the 1880s and been involved in agriculture since then. So I'm currently chairman of the Deschutes County Farm Bureau. Also follow a lot of the water issues, so I'm pretty aware of the different issues regarding both agriculture and water. And have a unique ability to have seen the impacts of Black Butte Ranch and the Sisters community as it was developed and developed through the years. I also have seen the decline of timber and ag as far as economies and industries in Deschutes County and Central Oregon. In fact, you know, the stopping the cutting of the trees took out the timber industry, and agriculture declined in Central Oregon mostly due to transportation issues and the advent of the global agricultural economy. Central Oregon has been very fortunate, more so than a lot of the rest of the state that relied on timber and ag, in that we were able to transition into a tourist economy. And a lot of that has ridden on the destination resorts and the industry that they've brought to the area. In fact, in front of you, I have a lot more information than what I have 2 minutes to talk about, but and one of the, you know, there's several bills that affect or address resorts, and all of those certainly would have a big impact. My time is limited, so I'll limit my comments to the agricultural definition change in Section 5.2. In fact, it proposes a change of language from high-value crop area, which is an extension service specific definition that defines specific high-intensity crops, and changes to high-value farm land, which east of the Cascades is almost anything that has any irrigation. So by changing this language as proposed in the bill, a 2-acre horse pasture could create a 3-mile buffer and are more, in essence, a moratorium for resorts anywhere east of the Cascades in which there are any irrigated ag lands. Okay. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cyrus. Ms. Surier.
I'm Pat Surier, Deschutes County. Thank you for coming. It's wonderful to see you all here. Here you have another fourth-generation Oregonian. My family, too, came in the 1880s. I wasn't there, but... I think that the thing I would like to stress is that we really need a moratorium at this time. The economy is foremost in most everybody's life at the moment, as you said. What's the... I think we really need to get all the studies done, and that's wildlife, water, and endangered species. These are studies that are coming. Once a resort is started, we never can go back to the natural area. So please, can we have a moratorium?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Remington?
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm Jack Remington. I've enjoyed living in Deschutes County for 21 years. Destination resort development has become a money-making scheme aimed at creating residential properties, read cities, in Oregon's natural areas. The problems with these developments are many, but I'm most concerned about the negative impacts on our water supplies. Destination resorts require a lot of water. Since surface waters are already over-appropriated in this county, developers must dig deep wells to meet their large demands. No one really knows how much water is in the total Deschutes River aquifer, so there are no accurate estimates for predicting how much water can be withdrawn. There are events occurring that indicate the aquifer may already be overdrawn at times. Each year, more personal wells are going dry. My own well, which is 600 feet deep, and the well of my neighbor went dry in the spring of 2006. Local well drillers and suppliers can tell you that more and more wells are also going dry. A front page article in the Bend Bulletin of just February 23 under the title "Drop in Groundwater Perplexes Scientists" outlines a potentially serious problem. One paragraph reads, quote, 1 mile south of Redmond, for instance, they've seen water levels underground decline nearly 20 feet in the past 15 years. That's near where I live. Of course, developers with a lot of money can drill deep wells and get water. That would be stealing water from the shallow wells because it's just one aquifer. Deschutes County is known as a high desert. Precipitation is the lifeblood. Bend last year got 4 inches of rain when the annual average is 12 inches. Yesterday, Governor Schwarzenegger declared a drought emergency for California. The drought system is Western United States, period. In my opinion, local county and state governments should not allow any new large commercial water users, such as destination resorts, to build in Central Oregon until the actual extent of the water supply is known. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hancock?
Thank you, Chair Nolan, committee members, for holding this hearing in Deschutes County. My name is Doug Hancock. I live in Jefferson County. My comments today are made on behalf of the Friends of the Metolius. Friends of the Metolius is a nonprofit group that's been active in the Metolius Basin for 20 years. Our membership stretches across the nation. And our mission is to educate, protect, and steward the Metolius Basin, a fairly narrow slice as far as conservation goes. House Bill 2227 is part of a necessary and long overdue reform. As part of the process that we believe should be evaluated in the context of House Bill 2227, we need a realistic evaluation of the impact of destination resorts on local communities. Is there a net benefit? Is there a net drawdown on economic assets? Certainly we can quantify tax revenue increases, but there's also huge infrastructure costs that can be quantified as well, including things like wildfire costs to protect urban sprawl in wildfire zones. We believe that it's necessary to define, map, and protect highly productive forest lands, which should be treated differently on the west side of the Cascades from the east side. They're very different ecosystems, and they need to be evaluated differently. As part of this process, we believe that counties should be required to update wildlife species inventories prior to mapping of destination resorts. Jefferson County's last inventories were some 25 years ago, and they have not been updated. We believe that you need to ensure protection of native fish and aquatic habitat and many other goals. Transferring some of the authority to an administrative agency is good, but the legislature needs to be mindful of its role in shaping policy and ensuring that not too much power is vested in one administrative agency. And in closing, as you know, the Matoya's Basin is in the crosshairs of several bills. The DLCD has done a remarkable job with its discussion of the ACS process, and Friends of the Matoya's has just developed a position on the second draft management plan that the DLCD came out with earlier in the week. If it would be helpful for you to have us submit that to you, we'd be glad to do so.
I would welcome having that. If you could get that to us through Ms. Ross.
I will do that.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Kyle Kirshner. I actually have Jack Remington listed twice. Is that the same Jack Remington who just spoke?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. Thanks. Kyle Kirshner, Kevin McDaniel, Chuck Defoe, Neil Hinkey, and Linda Barron. And if I could have ready in the wings, Gil Ernst, Diane Davidson, Gretchen Peterson, and Michael Manis. Welcome all. Thank you for being here. Mr. Kirshner.
Madam Chair, thank you very much, and committee members, thank you for hearing from us. My name is Kyle Kirshner. I'm the fire chief of the Crescent Fire District in northern Klamath County. Give you a little bit of history about our organization. We're 100 miles north of Klamath Falls and approximately 50 miles south of Bend. We operate a rural fire and ambulance service. We are known as a combination department. We employ a fire chief, an office administrator, and two firefighter emergency medical technicians. We also have approximately 11 volunteers. Our ambulance service area is 140 square miles, very large. And we're in a remote area with a population of about 2,400 people. Recently, we've had to lay off two of our essential caregivers due to budget constraints. And so my position here is more of an economic influence to our needs in northern Klamath County. It sounds like the DLCD needs to review the regulations for destination resorts. However, it appears that House Bill 2227 may contradict the DLCD's mission on predictability of county growth. The state created the DLCD to give counties in Oregon a tool for future growth and development. Klamath County has an opportunity to support growth, to stimulate a recessed economy, and secure funding of essential services through the placement of a destination resort. House Bill 2227 potentially reverses the state's proclamation to have counties accountable for their growth and welfare and takes that control away, only to be governed by special interest groups who are not directly affected by the results of their causes. Thank you. The Crescent Fire District is struggling to provide the essential fire and emergency medical services to the rural communities of Crescent, Gilchrist, Crescent Lake Junction, and visitors to northern Klamath County due to a failing economy and an antiquated funding system. Crescent Fire District urges you to look closely at House Bill 2227 and keep the future of county growth in the hands of the county. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. McDaniel?
My name is Kevin McDaniel, Klamath County. Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for this opportunity today. I am a resident of Gilchrist and the very proud principal of Gilchrist School. And I would also like to talk about some of the issues that are before us today in terms of the impact of local economy, or in our case, a lack of local economy, and its impact on our students. At its peak in enrollment, Gilchrist School housed over 500 students and offered a wide range of curricular and co-curricular activities. You're going to hear from many proud graduates who are in the audience tonight, and they will recall, I'm sure, kind of the golden age of Gilchrist School. Because of an economic downturn, things have changed at our school. Today, our enrollment is at 241 students. We have seen the loss in recent years of music, art, athletics, vocational programs. 80% of our elementary students are qualified for free and reduced lunch, and my guess is that is an underreported statistic. We face serious challenges in terms of mobility, being able to provide resources for our students. And I think it's easy when we discuss public policy to capture some of these things in raw data like dropout rates and mobility rates and test scores. The thing that I would like to impress upon the committee is this. The loss that I'm most concerned about as the principal of Gilchrist School has nothing to do with that data. It really has to do with the loss of hope. I want to share with you a story from one of our parents very quickly. I was meeting with them last week, and they thanked us for providing a great education for their three kids. Then I also announced that they were going to be leaving the community after their oldest child graduated because they saw no future in Gilchrist. And that's the loss I'm most concerned about. So as we discuss these issues, please keep in mind the impact of our local economy and our kids at our schools.
Thank you very much. Mr. Defoe?
Yes, my name is Chuck Defoe. I'm a small business owner. I own a sporting goods store and a RV park. And I've got to tell you that with the mill shutting down and, I'm from the town of Crescent, and our area... the owners of like the local restaurants there, they've had to lay people off, and they're running their restaurants themselves. Our lodges on Crescent Lake, Odell Lake, and stuff, they're all having to really cut back because with the gas, and we're just not getting the tourist dollars that we used to get. The resort for Northern Klamath County, I think, is a must. We really, really need it. It will provide jobs. One of our local business people I know is financial. Well, they're all in trouble, really. One of the hotels there, I know, last week had people stay there three nights. I mean, they rented one room for three nights last week, and we just need the resort to come in, and hopefully it'll help the restaurants, it'll help sporting goods, it'll help the resorts, it'll help the school through the taxes. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your thoughts. Mr. Hanke?
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Neil Hanke. I'm a resident of Crook County. I want to thank you very much for bringing the governmental process to us here in Central Oregon. It's nice to be able to participate without having to go to Salem. We'd also like to welcome you to Central Oregon, home of the largest number of resorts, I believe, and proposed destination resorts in the state of Oregon. I think the review that you're proposing to do under this bill is excellent. I think there are some, I didn't have an opportunity to read all of what's being recommended, but I would, some of the things that I would like you to consider would be that after we come up with a process with for destination resorts, that we have a process to review whether it's being successful or not. I would question now many of the resorts that here whether they truly meet the requirements that were originally in the destination resort ordinance, number of housing units to number of available overnight units, et cetera, et cetera. I'd like to draw to your attention that contrary to a lot of popular belief by applicants, water is an issue here. The other thing that's of grave concern to us is that these resorts get approved and the mitigation items like transportation, et cetera, get put downstream. They get bonded and then bonds get extended and the traffic continues and so forth and so on. I would encourage any of you in our little community of Powell Butte in the hours of around 7 to 8:30 or possibly 4 to around 5:30 attempt to get onto the highway to Prineville. And that's going to continue with the number of resorts that we have approved. I think the study is good. I'm glad to see it happen. I'm glad to see you here. I would encourage us to have a moratorium while we look at these things. I would encourage you to look at the number of present amount of lot inventory that is available in Central Oregon. Under our current economic conditions, I would imagine we probably have, in essence, about 6 to 10 years' supply. So we do not have to be in a rush. Thank you very much for listening, and thanks for coming.
Thank you. Ms. Barron.
Scoot over here.
Madam Chairman and committee members, my name is Linda Barone. I am a resident of Crescent Lake, and I'm also the president of our newly formed Chamber of Commerce. I'm here today to offer input as to why destination resorts are important to small recreational communities like ours that are located in Klamath County. Our chamber includes the towns and surrounding areas of Schmaltz, Crescent, Gilcrest, and Crescent Lake. We've worked very hard this past year to support our business communities to recognize and be heard in Klamath County and decision makers at the state level. Both residences and businesses in our communities have invested considerable time, energy and input into the planned development of Crescent Creek Resort. Okay, that's our destination resort in North Klamath County. Not only are we dealing with the potential impact of House Bill 2227, we are also faced with the devastation that could come from the passage of Senate Bill 430. Senate Bill 430 is not thinking of the safety, health, or peace of our small communities. Please do not discourage, block, or create an unnecessary obstacle or obstacles to further growth in our communities. You heard Chuck's testimony. We have struggled over the last few years battling rising unemployment. Without a source of revenue, the small communities that exist now may cease to exist in the future. The expected influx of commerce due to the Crescent Creek Resort completion was to mean more jobs, more housing, a greater tourism base, and a sense of hope for our future. Our communities rely heavily on the tourism traffic. The state of Oregon has very explicit laws pertaining to the development of destination resorts. They are costly, they are time-consuming, and very thorough. Those existing laws were followed by, or in our community. The Crescent Creek Resort planned for the North Klamath County received its final approval in the fall of 2008. This bill, if approved, could affect the growth and development of our resort. In a country desperately needing to increase the job market, it is not the time to support a bill that actually negatively impacts the creation of jobs and puts small rural communities like ours at even further risk. Please support our communities and do not support Bill 2227, and especially I'm thinking we're talking about also Senate Bill 430 that made a moratorium on destination resorts. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Barone. Thank you all for your testimony.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite to the witness table Gil Ernst, Diane Davidson, Gretchen Peterson, and Michael Manis. On deck, we will have Carol Jackquist. I'm sorry if I'm not getting that right. Cher Dolan, Terry Anderson, Barbara Sullivan, and Liz Fancher, or Fanche. Mr. Ernst, please begin.
My name is Gil Ernst. I'm in Klamath County, and as Mr. McDaniel stated, I am a graduate of Gilchrist High School. I'm born and raised in Gilchrist, a small community. My comments, as Ms. Barron has said, when you're in a small community and you have seen what has, we are timber dependent, the mill has shut down for a while. I have watched the economy decrease in our area. The expectation of this resort that would be built in our area would provide jobs, would enhance the businesses that are currently there. My concern is both with this bill is a review, but and then Senate Bill 430 is to take the control from the county level to the state level. I've been born and raised in a small town. I worked with different state agencies and different programs, regional investment, regional strategies. One of the things that I continue to express is that you don't go into other people's neighborhoods and try to control them. They're the ones that know what's best. Each county knows what's best. There may be areas of the state that destination resorts should no longer be allowed to go in, but let the counties, let the people decide it. Don't take it to the state level. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ms. Davidson?
Thank you. My name is Diane Davidson, and I am from Klamath County, Crescent Lake. I'm here representing the Crescent Lake Community Action Team. I currently chair that committee. I'm here mostly to talk about North Klamath County, but specifically Crescent Lake is where I reside. I'm a newcomer there. I didn't graduate. I'm only a two-year resident. But I learned a lot about their economy and their needs and the excitement of the destination resort. I'm going to go to my back page because I don't have enough time for this whole thing, but I am turning it into you. Is whatever outcome the committee is looking for, the most important thing is to strengthen the ability to build the economy of our rural recreational communities through growth and expansion of new and existing natural resource-friendly destination resorts, bringing jobs and tax revenue that supports those communities and the economy of the state of Oregon. I think that your task is large. I think there's a perception in some cases that destination resorts are under attack, so to speak. And I would like you to, there's some elements that have created this problem in that you replace a timber industry with tourism. And so before you can cap destination resorts, we almost need to cap tourism promotion. Because for a community like Crescent Lake, if you look at the map, they have Odell Lake, Crescent Lake, the Ski Mountain, all these little precious resources that we have that are promoted all over the world, and you bring people in, and then you have this little rural community that has 47 registered voters, and they're supposed to try to provide for safety, roads, recreation management, all of these things, and it's very difficult without tax dollars. So I want to give you an example that may help you.
If you could do that quickly, Ms. Davidson.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, Diamond Peaks took 20 years to get it approved. It's a subdivision that exists in Crescent Lake. It's about 100 houses are built right now. I happen to live there. But our those are the kinds of dollars that come into the community. It's allowed a lot of things to happen because of the tax base that's been increased. And your destination resorts come with financial support and do not drive away after a wonderful week at the lake or in the snow. The taxes continue so the roads and public services can be established and maintained. And I know I took too much time, but thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Ms. Peterson.
Gretchen Peterson, Deschutes County. I'm concerned about destination resorts for numerous reasons, including rural sprawl, water use, building in inappropriate sites, destroying the quality of life in the area, and disturbance to wildlife. These resorts become sprawling subdivisions with an increased burden on police and firefighters. They generate vehicle activity that requires more road maintenance. Who pays for all these services? The public should not have to subsidize destination resorts for the benefit of a few. It's essential that systems development charges or other fees be paid by the resorts to fully cover all of these costs. It's also critical that these developments be for tourists, not for residents. Destination resorts require vast amounts of water. This crucial problem is even more pertinent today in light of a local newspaper article earlier this week reporting an unexplained drop in the water table here near Redmond. The aquifer is already threatened by climate change and the piping of irrigation canals. This is not the time to put an additional strain on limited resources with large developments. A proposed resort in the Matolius Basin has plans to drill 10 wells. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to guess that this would definitely influence the water flow in the region. I share a well with neighbors and fear the depletion of my domestic water as a consequence of developments of this type. Locations chosen for destination resorts are often inappropriate. Agricultural land and fire-prone forests should be protected from resort development. Scenic areas should also be off-limits to resorts. It's essential to protect the quality of life on neighboring properties and communities. I'm also worried that large developments will impact the movements and behavior of native fish and wildlife. In any future legislation that relates to destination resorts, I hope that careful consideration will be given to these issues. Existing statutes should be amended to require that the tremendous impacts of destination resorts are avoided or fully mitigated, and that those requirements remain in statute. I also believe that most of the decisions about these resorts should be made at the state level. Deschutes County already has proven that it is not capable of enforcing existing laws regarding destination resorts.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson. Mr. Manis?
My name is Michael Manis. Gilcrest, Oregon is where I reside. I'm an owner and operator. My wife and I have a grocery and deli, and also a volunteer for a local public radio station. I'm a business owner. I'm bread and butter. I'm not a public speaker, but I would like to thank you folks for coming here and make it available for us, especially this time of day. It was great. I was thinking 6 o'clock is going to have to be here. But thank you, all of you. For listening to us. I could go over the same stuff. The fact of the matter is everybody knows how the economy is doing. We're all struggling. Ourselves, we're down to one employee now. We're of a 5,000 square foot business. I'm having to become very creative. We're holding our own, but I see others around me failing. The biggest impact I see is on the children of our community. We're a local spot for children to come before, after, and during lunch to the school, from the school, come to our facility, have a place, you know, to kind of hang and be. But I see it as big. I see this as jobs. I see it as how it's affecting so many lives around us. We've had our hope, since we've been losing timber dollars, we've had our hope on this resort coming in as maybe, you know, something to give us the push and keep us going, you know. So it's hard to keep the faith and keep the hope when something like this is really, as I've read it, is just out of nowhere. And I understand the concerns of environmentalists, but I would like to just please consider that there's a lot at stake here, not just what's in front of us, but our children and their futures. These folks move away, you know. We've lost them, the small community aspect, and that's the biggest part of America right now, jobs and, you know, small communities, the small businesses, they have to stay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very good testimony. Thank you all. I'd like to invite now, I'm sorry, I can't read this name, Carol Jacquet. Thank you. Cher Dolan, Terry Anderson, Barbara Sullivan, and Liz Fink. Fancher. On deck, we'll have Gary Eder, Robert Peterson, Tom Landis, Leland Smith, and Kurt Burrell. Ms. Jacquet.
All right. Carol Jacquet, Deschutes County. Thank you for being here. I am glad that the state is overlooking or overseeing this destination resort issue, as locals can sometimes be very short-sighted. And so the state, I believe, has an overall and a better view of what's happening throughout the whole state. The economy is so uncertain nowadays. It's difficult for me to see that destination resorts are going to be very helpful, because people are tightening their belts, and so they're not going to be spending the money that they used to spend. And I think this is going to last for more than just a few months or a year. But if we have to think about another resort in Oregon, I think we have enough already. But if we do have to think of it, I hope that they will put a limit on the number of resorts to be built over the next, 40 years. Don't allow them within 20 miles of each other. Limit the size of the resorts, keeping them to small units. Eliminate golf courses totally. It's a concern with water and the ecology and the migration of wildlife, etc. I would say also to try to protect the farm and ranch lands. We may have to change. We're supposed to be thinking of change. So I think things will be changing a lot, and we have to think of different things in the future. And we might have to be growing our own produce at some time. So protect some of the lands for this inevitability. Protect the forests, and especially the water. The water is very important, as you've heard in the testimony. And also, if we have to have resorts and building, give them the opportunity to see in the future and see that solar power is very important, and it's becoming something, it's becoming more evident that it can replace our old uses, old ways of electricity and powering our plants and things. I live in a solar home, totally off-grid for 15 years, and I operate it myself, and I don't know anything about electricity. And it's working for me, and the people are very helpful, and you can do it. Anybody can do it. So, and there's two. There's active and passive solar. So if people would just think of other ways of impacting or not impacting our country and our land, I think we would be better off and better better stewards of our land. So I don't know if I'm out of time, but I'll give you my...
Thank you. We'll accept your written testimony. Thank you for your testimony.
Right.
Ms. Dolan?
My name is Cher Dolan. I live in North Klamath County, the big town of Crescent. I want to tell you about my towns. I live where cows get out and get on the railroad tracks, and they shut down the train and bring your cows back. I live where you get stuck in the mud, the train stops and pulls you out. I live where when someone's family is fishing on your river, you welcome them and you let them. I live where I still ride my horse to get a cup of coffee. But more importantly, I live where when my husband has a heart attack, every neighbor shows up to make sure your wood is stacked in your shed and your hay is in your barns. where when you're struggling to pay your medical bills, they hold tournaments in town to help you pay those. And where when a controlled burn gets out of control, your neighbors plow down their trees to save your ranch. Sounds like yesteryear. Well, it's alive and well. I live where people still care about each other, and it's the way the world should be. It's what built this state, and it's what built this country. This resort means a lot to our community. When I first heard about it, I was opposed. I like my quiet town. And then I looked at the faces of the businesses and the homeowners and the families trying to survive, and I realized our towns are dying. We worked with this group through their concerns. They offer us jobs. They offer us revenue for our county and our state. They offer us an opportunity to educate our children better, and they give us a chance to keep one of the last mills in this state open. They give us hope. The communities in the state of Oregon were asked to design their plans. We did. We approved it. We said yes. We gave them our word, and we gave them our commitment. We don't have much left down there, but we still have our integrity, and we're asking you to let us at least keep that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Anderson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for coming today. I testify today with a heavy heart for the communities of Northern Klamath County. In September 2008, there was hope for the future of what our community could be, with the promise of a proposed destination resort situated within minutes of Crescent, Gilcrest, and Crescent Lake. I'm sorry, Terry Anderson and Klamath County. The buzz around our communities was palpable. Then came February 2009 with House Bill 2227 and Senate Bill 430. The proposed Crescent Creek Resort development would provide a much-needed lifeline for our communities. Crescent and Gilcrest do not have and cannot afford the basic infrastructure needed for future economic development. The proposed resort offered the hope of partnerships with the development on infrastructure, as well as the anticipated tax base that subsidizes our schools, fire department, and other essential services. The loss of this proposed resort would be a devastating blow to our area. Our largest community employer, the Interfor Pacific Sawmill, has notified its employees this week they will be without their jobs for an unspecified amount of time due to current lumber market conditions. This is another substantial blow to our community. I grew up in the small resort town of Crescent Lake, working in the grocery store, gas station, and trailer park my parents owned. Family-owned businesses like the ones I grew up working in are becoming extinct in our small communities. They can no longer operate at a profitable level due to the high cost of supplies, wages, and overhead. The minimum wage jobs they once provided are already gone, and the businesses will soon follow. Please explain to me how it is appropriate, under any circumstance, to reverse a decision that had gone through the required application process and was approved. The landowner provided the necessary due diligence required, as well as the substantial application fees. Thousands of dollars were invested in good faith, and the application submitted within the parameters as set forth by the State of Oregon, LCDC, and Klamath County. Again, this application was presented and approved at all levels. If this was the case, then why am I sitting here? What part of this do I not understand? There are no legitimate answers to those questions. This bill is a blatant attempt to undermine our community's chance of becoming a self-sustaining and viable community. And I am offended personally. The bottom line is we need economic support, not bureaucratic red tape. I am a taxpayer, small business, and landowner. I live, work, and volunteer in my community. I try to make a difference. You can also help us make a difference by recommending a no vote on House Bill 2227 and Senate Bill 430. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thanks. Thank you. Ms. Sullivan.
Thank you for coming today. I'm Barbara Sullivan. I live and work in Klamath County. Actually, I live in Crescent and work in Gilcrest. I am president of the Crescent-Gilcrest Community Action Team. I am the treasurer of North Klamath County Chamber of Commerce. I am here today to testify against Senate Bill 430 and any bill that would stop developers from building a destination resort in our community, Crescent and Gilcrest. On a personal level, I feel that we need this economic development not only for the betterment of our communities, but for all of Klamath County. On a professional level, I have seen the decline of jobs and businesses in our community and feel that without the proposed destination resort, our communities will be hard-pressed to stand this economic downturn. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Hello. My name is Liz Fancher.
Fancher.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I live in Deschutes County. I'm here today to represent Belveron Real Estate Partners. They're a Deschutes County landowner. I'm a local land use lawyer. One of our primary concerns about the bill is it's unclear what the bill is intending to do related to the abilities of counties to map destination resort lands. The bill is proposing to repeal the requirement that counties adopt amendments no more than every 30 months. So it leaves it unclear whether that means the counties can adopt amendments at any time or whether they can only adopt changes to their maps during periodic review. Looking at the findings that the legislature is proposed to adopt, it indicates that periodic review is really the only time that comprehensive plans should be updated and that maps should be updated. Comprehensive plan updates through periodic review don't occur very often, occur 7 to 10 years or long time frames. And the statutory time frame that exists now, we believe, is reasonable and should be supported and should remain in the law. I think it should be clear in whatever bill you adopt, if you adopt a bill, exactly what the role of the local maps are that currently are in existence. I'm concerned that the criteria listed in this proposed bill are different than the criteria that were used by the counties when they adopted their acknowledged planning maps for destination resorts. That they have changed the criteria for what lands are not eligible for destination resorts. And that means that the maps are immediately out of date. I think it's the intention of DLCD to ask you to correct that problem. It relates to the high-value farmland designation, which is different than the high-value cropland designation. The high-value farmland designation would affect many more properties. Also, Deschutes County is currently in the process of looking at its destination resort map and reducing the number of properties that can be used for siting destination resorts. We believe they're doing a good job. We also believe they should retain the ability to consider adding lands where appropriate based on changed circumstances. Since this bill doesn't address that issue clearly, we're greatly concerned about that. Also, we believe that it's appropriate to study these issues and then make changes in the state law. We believe that the existing framework is not unreasonable. We think it's appropriate and can be refined to accomplish the goals that you agree are appropriate for the state and to impose limits that you think are appropriate. But we believe that a study should occur first, that you should understand the impacts of these rules and what they will have, what it will mean to the local counties, to what whether land will remain eligible for development with destination resorts or not. Under the current proposal, with just the change on the soils, that would take out a large part of Deschutes County from destination resort mapping. If that's what you want to do, I think you need to tell the public that, and we'll have a forum on that particular point.
Can you wrap up, Ms. Fancher?
I think that's it.
Okay,
that's
perfect.
Point. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Because there have been a couple of people who've testified about the potential impact of House Bill 2227 and Senate Bill 430 on resorts already in the approval process, I wanted to ask Mr. Morrissey to come back and clarify that so that we all, committee members and audience, understand the impact that the proposed bill would have on those projects already in the pipeline.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Again, Michael Morrissey, DLCD. House Bill 2227 has no retroactivity language in it. It's a forward-looking bill. It was not intended to, nor to my best understanding, interfere with the ability of Crescent Creek to move forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Clarification, Representative Clem?
Just in general, when people are looking for bills and they have an application approved, I think they can look for language that says notwithstanding a certain statute about moving the goalpost, basically. And if it's in there, they're probably not going to like it. If it's not in there, it won't affect their particular already approved application.
It's not in House Bill 22.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. We'll still take testimony on it, but I wanted people to understand, at least for us all to have a common understanding of the language that's proposed before us. So now, if we could bring the next panel up. Gary Eder. I didn't notice before that there was a Molly Eder. Is she wanting to testify as well?
She is sick.
Okay, great. Thanks. Robert Peterson. Tom Landis, Leland Smith, and Kurt Burrell. On deck, we will have Carol Macbeth, Eric Kankler, I think, John Skidmore, and Gretchen Palmer. Mr. Eder.
Thank you for coming. My name is Gary Eder, and I live in Powell Butte, Oregon. I moved to Powell Butte, Oregon 11 years ago to raise hay and cattle. At that time, the land around me was zoned EFU 80 acre minimum. Less than 1 mile away from my ranch is an OSU agricultural experimental station, which has grown alfalfa, potatoes, carrots, and mints. All these crops are high dollar crops. Yet, Crook County approved a resort across a road from my farm, less than a mile from the ag station. Where was the state and county protecting my farm and my rights? Now we have a developer wanting to build in the Matildas Basin, one of the gems of the state, but no more important than preservation of farmland for the future generations to have healthy food supplies and clean food. Should Oregon be sacrificed for the greed of a few developers and by some of the misguided local leaders, or should we save Oregon for future generations? We need good state control that looks to preserve Oregon for generations to come. I included a map that was in the bulletin talking about the water that a lot of people have talked about lately, and there's only one copy, so hope that gets around.
My
wife
sure
has testimony, and I'm just going to read the last sentence of it. Remember Governor Tom McCall, plea to protect Oregon for everyone. Thank you.
And wish her well.
I shall.
Mr. Peterson.
I'm Robert Peterson, Deschutes County. Thank you for being here very much today. I'm concerned that the impacts of the region's destination resorts are proceeding without being influenced enough by Oregon's 19 statewide planning goals. These goals... Because of these goals, we have avoided urban sprawl, retained our open space, kept our scenic beauty and associated recreational activities. Our quality of life has thrived because of them. Let us not allow special interest to tinker with the formula to what we treasure. I believe that destination resorts can be viable only if they strictly comply with the state's planning goals. Goal 8 describes destination resorts and indicates that planning for them should comply with goals 3, 4, 11, and 14. Goals 3 and 4 preserve and maintain agricultural lands and forest lands. We haven't acquired more of these resources. They and the open space they provide are more important today than they have ever been. We must protect them. One of the most conspicuous parts of Goal 14 clearly states that we must keep our urban areas in towns and cities, which means to not allow housing developments under the guise of destination resorts for tourists. Goal 5 is related to this and states that local government shall adopt programs to protect natural resources and conserve natural beauty and open space, not lead to its slow demise. Goal 6 covers planning guidelines and states that plans and programs should not exceed carrying capacities and includes water resources. The Deschutes River Basin water levels have already been dropping. Protecting our groundwater is crucial for all of us. We must be steadfast following our previously agreed upon guidelines to keep the Oregon we love. Also, we as private citizens just can't subsidize private developers. We should require resort developers to pay costs that are now shifted to neighboring towns and cities, such as added traffic, fire protection, and other emergency response needs. We also need to establish a buffer zone between multiple resorts and from towns, including coastal towns, to prevent resorts from becoming suburbs and creating greater traffic impact. Transferable development credits to allow rural development, this is not permitted under current law, should also not be allowed. We must keep our focus on what's good for the public and our communities and have special interest groups meet our needs. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Landis.
Tom Landis. I live in Jefferson County. I've been a 19-year resident of Camp Sherman. I thank you very much for coming here. I'm opposed to the destination resorts that are being proposed for the Camp Sherman area, but I think the purpose of this bill and this hearing is far beyond the Camp Sherman Matilias River issue. And so I'd like to say a little bit about the destination resort issue in general and how it relates to counties and to people and to special interests. I've been intimately involved with the land use process as it relates to Camp Sherman and Jefferson County. And the thing that bothers me and has bothered me for years is often the inability of county officials to be responsive to the needs of the general community, of county officials putting the interests of special interests above the interests of the population in general. Where I live, the outstandingly remarkable natural values of the Matilias Basin are something that's tremendously valuable to the whole state. And I see narrow interpretations of land use laws that are beneficial to developers and to the county, but not to the state in general. And so I'll conclude by just saying that I applaud your efforts to tighten up the destination resort rules and to take a look at that, because there are a lot of problems with destination resorts and they should be reviewed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Mr. Smith?
Yes, good afternoon.
Thanks.
My name is Leland Smith, Deschutes County, and I'm going to give it a little different perspective because my wife and I have been full-time permanent residents in Sun River Resort for the last 20-plus years. I grew up in the wet side of the Cascade Mountains, South Salem High School, degree in economics, University of Oregon, master's at Portland State University, and worked at Portland a number of years. And then we took a 16-year break from Oregon while I followed a career path in other states. When we decided to have a permanent home, we looked at coming back to Oregon at that time. We narrowed our choices down to two. One was Sun River Resort, and the other was North Lake Tahoe. We chose Sun River Resort because it provided specifically the resources that I needed to run a multi-state real estate development consulting company. And also provided my wife with a built-in social environment, which she would not have had if we had located anywhere else that didn't have all of the infrastructure, social infrastructure that the resort has. So it's been very successful for us for more than 20 years. But I've been using my background in real estate development consulting and economics recently to take a look to see if my experience was unusual or if this destination resort I live in really provides benefits to the whole area. Some of the numbers were really surprising to me. And incidentally, I used a labor economist in the Oregon Department of Employment in Salem to verify some of these numbers. So none of these are made up in typical economist fashion. They're all verifiable. In 2007, the visitor industry provided 5,440 direct jobs in Deschutes County alone, providing more than $121 million in wages from $659 million in total spending. payrolls of the five resorts were $40.5 million. This is the most important number, I think. The average payroll per worker in destination resorts was $27,566, higher than the average payroll in the entire retail sector of Deschutes County. The point I want to make is that destination resorts are an economic engine. One of the state land use goals is economic development. Destination resorts provide economic development. So I would support anything you can do to recognize their economic potential.
Thank you. Appreciate that testimony. Thank you all. May I invite Kurt Burrell, Carol Macbeth, Eric Clanker, John Skidmore, and Gretchen Palmer. Mr. Burrell here. Mr. Burrell? Okay, we'll go to Carol Macbeth.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Carol Macbeth, and I am a resident of Deschutes County, where I'm the Central Oregon Advocate for 1,000 Friends of Oregon. We support this bill insofar as it begins the long-needed reform of the current destination resort siting process, but we urge you to take immediate action to prevent the siting of any more resorts under current siting standards. We have three handouts which I've given you to illustrate why reform of destination resorts is so urgently needed. The first is an illustration of the cost to the general fund of the state of Oregon since 1993. You can see that since 1993, cost of fighting wildfires in the state of Oregon has gone from $0 to $20 million this past year. Thus, unsustainable strain, especially in these budget-strained times, we believe is an unwise use of resources. The Biobean Complex fire in 2003 near Sisters burned 90,000 acres and cost $38.7 million to fight. Current destination resort siting law allows destination resorts to put thousands of homes in fire-prone forests. Jefferson County was proposing to put them right in the middle of the Metolius Basin, where the fires burn every 7 years on average. And again, people, thousands, hundreds of residents have been evacuated every year or under the threat of evacuation, that is, for the past 6 years. So we urge you to consider immediate reform that would prevent at least siting of resorts in fire-prone forests, because the state's general fund cannot sustain these rising costs. The second handout is a Ben Bulletin article entitled Resort Traffic Has Redmond Worried. This explains how a resort approved just over the Crook County line from Redmond, the city of Redmond estimated that it would need to bear $860,000 just in transportation costs just from a single resort, and four were approved by Crook County, where Redmond had no say in this approval. They have no ability to recuperate these costs. So we'd like to see that addressed. And third, we have the hydrograph from the United States Geological Survey. This shows all of the farmers and ranchers' wells near a very large resort that was approved in Deschutes County in 1985. In that year, you can see that the neighboring well water dropped significantly. So we ask you to consider that immediately farmers and ranchers need reform to prevent their own wells from being impacted by the huge water withdrawals of resorts.
Thank you for your testimony.
I'll do it for you.
Thank you.
Eric Kanzler.
I'm sorry.
It's perfectly okay. I'm a resident of Deschutes County, and I am the executive director of Central Oregon Land Watch. We are a locally based nonprofit that focuses on land use and environmental issues, and that has invested considerable resources in addressing the issue of destination resorts. I'd like to thank all of you for making the trip over here to hear what citizens of Central Oregon have to say on this important issue. I'm not providing any written testimony today, but I can assure you we'll be submitting plenty in the near future. I would like to stick today to two simple points. The first point is that I think an issue that is this important deserves strong statutory guidelines. We do feel that it is entirely appropriate to send this issue to DLCD. and allow them to thoroughly address many of the details and many of the specifics about siting and constructing destination resorts in Oregon, so long as the state sets appropriate boundaries for DLCD to work with. Most importantly, we feel that the fundamental concept of destination resorts is overdue for being revisited, and that resorts should be returned to their original intent of providing primarily, if not entirely, overnight-oriented accommodations. A quick visit to the websites for these resorts can give you a pretty good idea of the sense of their true aims. For example, if you go to Sun River's site, it's focused on vacation rentals. It's clear that Sun River is about tourism. It's clear that Sun River has played an important role in putting Central Oregon on the map and that it continues to play an important role in the local economy today. If you, for example, Google the Pronghorn Resort, the first words you see in the listing are luxury golf homes. Once you're on the website, it's incredibly difficult to find any information related to staying overnight on the resort. And I spent 10 minutes on the site this morning, and I frankly couldn't find anything that led me to believe I could even stay overnight at their resort. I don't believe that this could have been the true intent of Goal 8, which for the most part has led to massive rural subdivisions. Golf courses, hospitality, and overnight units are often financial losers, but they do help to sell lots. And I think that's the reason why the industry as we see it today exists, and I think that needs to change. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Skidmore?
Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity to comment. My name is John Skidmore. I'm a planning consultant in Bend. I've worked on both the public and private sides of planning, so I've regulated resorts as well as proposed them. As usual, Eric and I are going to come at this from a little bit different perspective. House Bill 2227 identifies a perceived problem that there's a concentration of resorts in Central Oregon, and it kind of makes sense. I mean, there's a reason that Hawaii has so many resorts and Summit County, Colorado have so many resorts, because people like to go and spend their money and time on sunny beaches and in areas with snow-peaked mountains. So it's interesting to me that this seems to be a concern when Central Oregon has an inherent advantage in terms of our natural surroundings. Again, this is a driving force of our economy, tourism. So I guess I'm a bit perplexed why the state and DLCD are really stepping in to curtail the region's best-positioned industry. As mentioned, this is, even in the bill, this is a regional problem that people have identified. And as such, it's really not appropriate for DLCD or the legislator to step in with a quick fix. The best method would be to rewrite House Bill 2227 to have a regional approach. So we could create, and you could authorize, the Central Oregon Destination Resort Advisory Group, CODRAG. This group would consist of the following members who best understand the benefits and impacts of these resorts. County Commissioner from each of the following counties, Crook, Deschutes, Jefferson, Klamath. City Councilor from each of the following cities, Bend, Klamath Falls, Lapine, Madras, Prineville, Redmond, Sisters. A representative from the Warm Springs, local representative from the local DLCD office, Oregon Water Resources Department, DEQ, Fish and Wildlife, ODOT, representatives from each of the destination resorts, representation from opposition groups like Central Oregon Land Watch, representation from Economic Development for Central Oregon, EDCO, representation from the various chambers of commerce, representation from the various visitors and tourist associations, as well as representation from the various conservation groups, Upper Deschutes Watershed Council, and others. What you should do is authorize the creation of this group and fund it. Specifically, set out a 2-year time frame to get this group together, identify what the problems are, and study them. After you study them, after these perceived problems have actually been looked into, then we would have a coordinated effort in addressing them. So my planning experience and education have shown me that a regional approach to things is the best way to move. This is why Metro in Portland is looked to as an example throughout the country as an important establishment that addresses issues of regional significance. If it works in Portland, it can work here. So please, take this opportunity, rewrite House Bill 2227, create a regional approach to this, and we'll actually get the result, and we'll have a coordinated solution. It's going to keep Oregon in the lead in its innovative approach to land use process or land use issues, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you for your testimony. Anyone has arrived since we started and hasn't taken, if you would like to testify, we are pulling names off of a list. If you're not on that list, there are sign-up sheets over here if you'd like to testify. Let's go to my next page, which I'm getting a little lost on. Gretchen Palmer, Lori Crayfield, I'm sorry. Come on up. Ron Hand, Brock Howell, Asina Squires. On deck, I have John Irvin, Terry Engel, Bill Zelenka, and Bill Atherton. Ms. Palmer. Okay. Ms. Palmer's left.
Craighead,
Ms. Craighead.
Thank you. Laurie Craighead. And while I'm here on my own time, I am the Assistant Legal Counsel for Deschutes County, and I'm only here to observe and also to provide the committee my services if you have any questions about how the approval or application process for destination resorts in Deschutes County works. For example, if you had any questions on how the county handles improvement agreements and the bonding or cash or other financial security that we allow, that the county allows in lieu of building infrastructure or the overnight lodging in order to allow a destination resort to file their first subdivision final plat to record that. Also, if you have any questions regarding the makeup of destination resorts, I know that some destination resorts have no permanent single-family dwellings, whereas all the destination resorts in Deschutes County that I believe all have some, they have the permanent destination resort dwellings, or they have permanent residential dwellings, and right now they are the ones that we all have are at the 2-to-1 ratio. There are two single family dwellings to, or two permanent dwellings to one overnight lodging. The county did not change its ratio to the 2.5 that was in the statute, that was changed in the statute in 2003, and they just recently changed that. So if you have any questions, I offer my services. I will also give my card to your staff person so that if the committee members have any questions after this hearing, feel free to call me. So, thank you.
That's a very generous offer. Thank you. Mr. Hand?
Yes, good morning. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody here for coming over to Central Oregon, where it's very fitting that this hearing is taking place and was previously expressed to the area of beautiful Redmond. It's obvious why there's so many destination resorts in this area. I'll be brief. I would like to, number one, encourage the committee to review all the elements of this proposal, but particularly the economic benefits of destination resorts to Central Oregon. It's been said once, and I can not help but reiterate it in these times when economy is number one on in the newspapers on a daily basis. You'd have to take a look at services surrounding us, like the Redmond Airport, even the fairgrounds here, and what they might be like if without the tax benefits of a destination resort. Tax benefits also are incredible to the school districts. I believe that if you'd take a look over the years that Eagle Crest, for instance, may have in their busiest year contributed a total of 20 students to the Redmond School District, yet look at the taxes that have come in from the base that the Eagle Crest Resorts provides. The resorts in this area typically do not contain primary residences, so again, the economic benefits that help the fire districts and others are huge. You would find that the resorts hover around 20% primary residences, so again, the tax benefits are huge. Thank you. I would agree that there is a time to study the effects, but without everybody, without all the stakeholders, the input would not be complete. So again, I appreciate your coming over to Central Oregon. And finally, I would encourage you to not put this decision for making responsibilities anywhere other than in the counties that are representing the resorts that are being applied for. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Howell.
Thank you, Chair Nolan and members of the committee. I am Brock Howell,
and I am the Land Use and Transportation Advocate for Environment Oregon. And I'm here to represent our members in Central Oregon, and we have about 30,000 statewide, and quite a few of those are here. I come with this with some humility about this because I, too, am from a rural area, much like this, a semi-arid desert farming community, grew up on a farm for my entire life until about a year ago when I started living in an urban area. And so I understand these issues and the complex problems that we have with making sure that we have a viable economy in rural areas. And I think destination resorts have been one way that Oregon has attached, tried to attempt to provide that economic vitality. Environment Oregon wants to make sure that destination resorts in the future are built the right way to ensure both economic sustainability for these communities as well as environmental sustainability for the long term. So we are supporting a statewide destination reform, resort reform, and we want to make sure that we continue to provide adequate amount of water resources for our communities and for the habitat and fish, to make sure we have appropriate fire protection, that they don't impact our wildlife habitat, as well as other issues concerning planning, such as the ability of cities to receive impact fees for the extra services they have to provide that go unaccounted for. I'll have much more time to be able to go into depth with that, and in the future I'll provide written testimony. But thank you for your time and for the ability to represent our Central Oregon members.
Thank you. Mr. Hand, I made a mistake and didn't ask you to put your name and county on the record. Would you help me out here?
Sure. My name is Ron Hand. I live in Deschutes County.
Thank you very much. Ms. Squires.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Hasina Squires for the record. I represent the Metolian, which is also known as the Eco Resort or the Lundgren property. There are two co-managers of the Metolian, Jim Keene, who all of you have met previously with me today in the audience, is Shane Lundgren, who is a fifth-generation Camp Sherman resident. My clients purchased a 627-acre piece of property in the Metolius Basin in 2005, not to be land speculators, but were then approached by the county, Jefferson County, and asked, would you like to participate in our destination resort mapping process? In 2006, Jefferson County mapped our piece of property and another piece of property as destination resort eligible. We'd like to just state a couple of things about the current statute and its inflexibility. The current statute doesn't allow flexibility with respect to, and I'm speaking specifically to ORS 197-445 sub 4 sub B big A, this overnight lodging issue and the 2.5 ratio of residential units. The minimum allowable is not low enough for people who want to do smaller types of smaller scale destination resorts, and that's something that we would encourage you to look at from a flexibility perspective, not in a mandatory perspective, but at giving people who want to develop something that might be smaller than a large resort the ability to take advantage of that. In addition, I think a lot has been said about economic benefit and environmental benefit. There is an environmental benefit that could be had if you changed your statutes. The current statute for the $9 million on-site improvement does not allow for any off-site improvement, any of that financial commitment to be spent off-site, and we would like to do that. Our project proposes to use money on off-site in order to do tree thinning. And with all due respect to the nonprofits that are here, nonprofits, the bane of nonprofits is spiky funding, and we would like to be able to explore ways that we could better leverage private public dollars with capital improvement funds that would be dedicated via annual user fees. Just one quick thing about House Bills 2227 specifically. You're delegating in this bill a great deal of authority to DLCD, and it is with great concern that we ask you to clearly examine the authority you're delegating to DLCD. And as elected officials, set a state policy, step up to the plate, put some strict parameters on that. This is the same state agency that just recently issued a management plan moving our property to Round Butte, which is 1.5 miles near EFU.
Thank you for your testimony. John Irvin, I had called earlier. John Irvin, still in the room?
No one does.
Okay. Okay, John Irvin, maybe I had said you were on deck. Terry Engel, also on deck, or now called up. Bill Zelenka. And let's see if we can get at least one more. Bill Atherton.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm John Irvin. I live in Deschutes County, but I work in Klamath County. I love small towns. I'm not a representative of the United States Postal Service, but I've worked there 31 years. A lot of small towns. I've seen some of them shrivel up and die, and that was a pity. The people who came to live in the small post offices that lost their businesses were not the greatest element, so I wouldn't like to see that happen to Crescent or Gilcrest, which is clearly why I'm citing here. We'd like to see our own kind of Sun River, I believe, come to that area. So when I heard, not about 2227, but Senate Bill 430, I'm glad we can comment on that. I just thought it was plain wrong to hear the word moratorium used on something where people had already planned, gone through all the hoops, and organized and spent money trying to get something together. So I hope that the word can go back to the Senate folks that going retroactive just seems plain wrong. I also happen to have been on small government for 15 years. I was elected to a special district. And from that perspective, our only interest was water. I was on a water district, and it was offensive when the city tried to tell us that we should give a better water rate to a certain type of customer, say a commercial outfit. And my only point about that is that the smaller you can make the government, the more local the control, the more you can have the people who are affected have ownership in whatever is happening to them, then the better they're going to buy into it and the better they're going to be happy with whatever sort of results. So if anything, I want to just ask whatever type of actions that you all take, that it'll be something that allows for more county control. That was quick. Wow. but I know you're not here to make decisions about the local areas. Just send the decision-making to the local areas. Whatever you do this year, do something that encourages good planned economic recovery during these next few years. The economy is going to take a big toll on all of us, and I would like to see small communities helped not have obstacles thrown up in front of them, but help to have good working environments. And certainly, I don't like to see water tables dropping in other areas. They need local control, too. The areas of Powell Butte where I worked for a short while, I saw those wells going dry or lowering. That was a shock, but that should be locally addressed by those counties. And if you put something statewide, I know there's a temptation there to get, you know, control and not allow people to make this kind of mistakes that have been made. But it can be an encouragement to get the local areas to work together. And that, if you do anything, I would like to see happen.
Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Engel.
Hi, I'm Terry Engel, a resident of Deschutes County. I'm a civil engineer, and I've worked on both sides of land development issues. I'm currently a city engineer for Wasco, for example, and do other work around the state. I've worked on the destination resorts of Black Butte, Sun River, and Eagle Crest, and a couple others, at least through the planning stages of those. And throughout my work, I've become intimately familiar with the statutes, ordinances, and general regulations required to develop destination resorts. And grant you, things can be tweaked, but I would caution you not to go overboard with what you have now, because it's a lengthy process, and it requires a lot of work, and to try to go back on some of these. And I understand it's not to be retroactive, but I would caution you that the process is working now. On Senate Bill 430, the moratorium, to me that just gives land use planning a bad name. I don't know any other way to put it. It's just, it's not right. If you've got land use regulations that were discussed in the introduction by the DLCD representative, and you understand the decades of regulations and planning that has gone in to develop those, and then all of a sudden say, wait a minute, time out, we're going to have a moratorium. Just doesn't make sense. The economic conditions are actually giving you a moratorium right now. The moratorium has probably been a result of the hypergrowth we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years. I would grant you that over the next 10 years, we're not going to see anything like that, and it's going to give you an opportunity to reevaluate all that at that time. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Zelenka.
Madam Chair, committee members, nice to see you again.
Hello.
I'm going to not submit any written testimony today because there will be more hearings and we'll have more detail, and I'll be submitting probably written testimony at that time. I just have a few observations that I would like to pass on. Number one, I think you've heard testimony today of the ills as well as the benefits, and yet when you look in the bill and in the finding, Bill Zelenka, I live in Crook County, thank you. That you take a look at the finding, and all you see is the tone of it is that it's all negative. And yet, I think you've been hearing positive. And so, if there's a need to change, I think we have to have recognition that there's both positive as well as potential negatives, because I think it flavors the tone of the bill by just showing all the negative and not showing the positive. I think one of the other items that I have been listening to, I received in the email a survey from you, Madam Chair.
Yes, you did. Thank
and
you. I'm glad you noticed it.
Yes. Actually, I think that was an excellent idea, and I would encourage you to send out emails to the 8 counties that have destination resorts, similarly asking for positive and negative comments, since we're the ones that are actually functionally trying to implement this. And I think you might be surprised at some of the answers you might get. Generally speaking, counties are not supportive of administrative rule provisions, and we're certainly not, and my county commissioner testified earlier, really talked against it. We want to make them function, and if you look at administrative rules, especially like, say, the forest template rule, if anybody can figure that out, good luck, because you need to be a mathematician on it. So with that, I'll be submitting written testimony and at future hearings.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and testifying again. Mr. Atherton.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. The challenge of public policy is
name and county, please.
I'm sorry. Hi, Madras.
Thanks.
Bill Atherton from Madras, and I'm currently farming in Jefferson County. The real challenge of public policy is not to deal with some immediate kind of economic situation, which is nationwide. It's not just Jefferson County or Central Oregon. We all know that. And this, what we're discussing here today, is not going to solve that problem. But the real challenge of public policy is to look 20, 30, 40, 7 generations, 100 years out in the future. And it's always concerned me about this destination resort process or situation, is that you're basically, again, using zoning, the power of the state, to protect the real estate investment of comfortable and privileged folks and keep regular people in their place. I think it's wrong. It's very extraordinarily dangerous on a long-term basis for society to do that. And I'm not in favor of destination resorts. I am, however, basically in favor of your effort here on House Bill 2227 and would like to make a suggestion for a change. It is a real basic problem in our society that we don't seem to know how to figure out how the difference between how much is too much on the one hand and how much is enough on the other. Now, you've made an effort in here to talk about the concept or think about the concept of carrying capacity. You did not use your words. Several of the witnesses here have used it in terms of sustainability and that sort of thing and talking about future generations. But do not use the word caps or think that carrying capacity is a number. because it is not a number. It is a process. It's a process that you use to tell you the difference between how much is too much and how much is enough. And I can suggest some language for you, but I think there are three critical elements to that process. The first is, does it stand the environmental test? Is it going to cause long-term damage? Does it fit, you know, what can be sustained long-term? The second has to do with money. And is it being subsidized by the public, or does it stand on its own? And none of these projects do that. And you don't have a process for making that happen. That needs to change. Whether it's allowing system development charges for police, fire, library, and schools, changing the ballot measure 50 process, on how we have change ratio review, and that sort of thing. But that needs to change. And the third element of the three-legged stool to tell you about carrying capacity is the will of the people. And you need to find some process other than, I know a lady, very pleasant lady came, so that they bought this land for this farmland, forest land, and that Jefferson County came and asked them to develop a destination resort. Well, I think the real facts on that are is that one member of the Jefferson County Commission, who no longer lives in Jefferson County, came to them. It would have really been nice if we'd had a process to ask everybody.
So anyway, can you wrap it up, please?
Some language to you.
And it is your time, not your content, that I am limiting.
I'm sorry?
I said it's your time that I'm limiting, not the content of your message.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. I have one last sheet, unless, Mr. Hoyt, have you checked to see if there are anyone else? The last people I have signed up to testify are Cameron DeLashmet, Nancy Gould, Jim Guild, and Rick Allen. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify today? Okay, could we get your name, please, and then we'll call you up next.
This is ironic, as I'll get out, isn't it?
Mr. DeLashmet.
Hello, I'm Cameron DeLashmet, Thornburg Resort Company. I live in Redmond, Deschutes County. I just, my family has got 2,000 acres that we are in the process of permitting in a resort. It sits to the west of Eagle Crest. It's been in my family since 1953. My grandfather was a cattle rancher. We ranched until the land, we had people encroaching on us, constant trespassers. We lost the economic viability to use it as a range land. So in 2004, we started the permitting process. And as of today, we're still in that. We applied for our conceptual master plan in February 16th of 2005, and we're still under appeal right now. That land currently, it provides zero jobs and about $6,000 worth of tax revenue. I'd just like to address two different things here, economic benefits and the process that exists today. Our real estate economist, who has done economic studies on 100 different resorts scattered around the western U.S., Mexico, the Caribbean, puts our jobs over the next 10 years at 1,458 annual average full-time jobs with an annual payroll of $67 million. Our property taxes at build-out are $22 million per year, so they will go from zero jobs to $1,458, $6,000 in taxes to $22 million in taxes. Of that $22 million, $8 million goes to public schools, but the burden that we place on public schools is only $365,000, so it provides a massive subsidy in the amount of $7.75 million per year to the school system, and similar results exist all throughout. Our mitigation plan to be able to do all of this, we contribute $3.2 million to various agencies or on behalf of those agencies or in concert with agreements that we have with those agencies, from ODOT to Fish and Wildlife to the BLM. And in close, we have been a pretty good steward of working with the agencies. I'll just give you a quote. We appreciate Thornburg's willingness to substantially increase the level of its financial contributions to reflect the increased cost of infrastructure improvements in this location. And that's Mark Devoney, Region 4 Program and Planning Manager of ODOT, July 11th of 2008. Thank you for the time, and thank you for making the trip.
Appreciate your testimony. Ms. Gould?
Hello, thank you for being here. Nunzi Gould, Deschutes County. I'd just like to read for you a February 23rd, 2009 update on the status of the second appeal to LUBA, Gould versus Deschutes County, regarding Thornburg Resort. ORS 197.8551 requires the court to issue its decision on judicial review within 91 days after oral argument. Subsections 2B and 3 permit the court to extend the time if the court determines, after considering the factors prescribed in Section 3, that the ends of justice served by granting a continuance outweigh the best interests of the public and other parties. Quote, the court finds that this case is sufficiently unusual and complex due to existence of novel issues of law that it is unreasonable to expect adequate consideration of the issues within the 91-day period. Therefore, the court, on its own motion, grants a continuance of the decision in this case. Central Oregon is a destination. It has been, and that's why we have our urban communities. It will be long after resorts no longer pass this test. Deschutes County Code and other Oregon counties are complaint enforced. Enforcement has fallen upon the public. Local governments do not have the tools, financial resources, or desire to monitor resorts in perpetuity. Citizens of Oregon need state protection for Oregon's resources. Changes must occur in statute to protect Oregon's resources. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Guild.
My name's Jim Guild. I live in Bend, or Tumalo. When we walked in here, we kind of were wondering if this was the desert ball. And this table right here in front of you, it just about is that. I have several things I want to make comments on. Every time you write notes here and you get in front, and you've heard me in Prineville where you hear things and you want to say something in response. But I do think that one of the things that you need to keep in mind, burden of proof. This is not and should not be the responsibility of Oregon citizens with regard to the impacts destination resorts, DRs, may or may not have on the communities they're near. Remember, health, safety, and public welfare. This is the mission and the mandate of elected representatives. I really want that to be brought up over and over again because it is part of the elected process. DRs have no objective way to prove their impacts on water, transportation, or public service. They should never be considered a possible source of tax revenue. Indeed, right now, in Deschutes County, they are a negative drain on public funds. I did have a quote or a title for this. What I wanted to say, if we only knew now what we didn't know then, That's the truth about destination resorts in Oregon, and I think everybody needs to deal with that. There is no demand for destination resort development in Bend or in Deschutes County. We need to deal with it. I'm sorry about Klamath County. What's going on here? Are there invisible people here that I just don't see are going to buy these $500,000 lots? No, they're not there. This is all out of tact on our state land use laws. It seems the main purpose of DR proponents is to throw out all land use laws. I want to bring up the term water harvesting. There are two vastly different terms, uses for that term. You hear the one, you hear it in third world countries to capture water off roofs in order to reuse for irrigation, alternative septic systems, etc. The second one, I want you to think Nestle and Poland Springs. Go to McLeod, California. Go to Freiburg, Maine. They are harvesting water. Is this what's going on with the, is this the ultimate reason for destination resorts? Are they trying to take, the water is the state of Oregon's, not some mystical or infinite, it's not a mystical infinite resource up for purchase. Or is it? I also want to bring up the number that our economist brought up about the $27,000 a year. I'm a builder. I have lots of money. I pay payroll. Divide $27,000 by 12 months, $2,200 a month. Divide it by 4 weeks, it's $500, $550 a week. 40% deductions, which is about $220. That leaves $330 a week. Divide that by 5 days, $66 a day. $8.20 an hour. You know what our minimum wage is in our state? It's 8.25. What are we talking about here? Minimum wage jobs. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Allen.
Thank you. I think I'm last. So thanks for allowing me to speak and for you to come over and Senator Telfer and Senator Representative Stiegler for coming, I think, as the local legislators. I live in Madras, Jefferson County, and I have a place at Camp Sherman. Jefferson County has been working on trying to site a resort. He just said that Deschutes County had plenty, and he was sympathetic to Klamath, and hopefully people are sympathetic to Jefferson. We have a 12% moving to 13% unemployment rate. We're the smallest of the counties. We have no destination resort. Jefferson County started out in 2004 with subcommittees that the commission started, and then they started, went from there to in 2005. In 2006, they went through the complete planning commission process and the process that set out through the county commission of the laws of the state of Oregon that were established by the legislature. Before, the county had tried to map lands, and they were rebuffed because they were too close to farmland and they didn't follow the law, and they kept being told to follow the law. The LCDC commission was in Madras 3 nights ago, came up with a new location in order to leave the Metolius area, and they were bombarded. The same nonprofits that were here that are opposing that came today to speak, they're already opposing the new area that the LCDC commission recommended. The county worked hard at trying to map the land. The areas they mapped are not, excuse me, they meet the requirements that have been long established that both Crick, Klamath, Jackson, and Deschutes have followed. Jefferson County approved this in 2006. The gentleman from LCDC said, we're mapped. We hope that we get to move forward, and that when you guys get some of these bills coming forward, that you will understand that it's Jefferson County worked hard at this. They did it right, and they need their chance to do this too. Our particular development, Ponderosa, half of it lies outside of the Metolius Basin. We're in the Culver School District. Culver tried to pass a bond on a new school. It was $5 and some cents a thousand. Those of you who vote in the Portland or the other areas, you see a dollar or 50 cents or a $2 bond, $5. It's in the Culver School District, a few miles from Madras. It's not in the Camp Sherman's District. It's not in the Sisters School District. It's closer when you leave our property to go to the grocery store in Sisters than to Camp Sherman. We're 6 miles east. Our watershed is the Deschutes Basin. No state agencies appealed when the county mapped. LCDC said you were stronger than state law required. Fish and Wildlife said you stayed out of the overlay zones, which are required. In other words, no land was mapped within the elk, deer, or winter deer ranges. Oregon Water Resources did not have any complaints. ODOT had no complaints. The county followed the law that was established by the legislature. In 06, it came before the legislature. It did not get a hearing in the House. It died. The developers and the county continued, since you adjourned in 06, spending money. And so they've invested a lot of money and time in this. And to go backwards in time to 06 with any legislation that some of these are talking about, not this bill, 2227, but some of the others. So hopefully think about us when you guys look at those bills in the future.
Thank you for testifying. We do have one more person who has signed up to testify.
Madam Chair.
Mary Dutcher.
We don't want to ask the agency a question after that person, may we?
We could do that.
Yeah,
I also want to give members of the committee the same amount of time each person who has testified has had to, if anyone would like to make final comments. We can each...
It's a characterization of what an agency person said, and I think it's inaccurate, actually. I want to bring it back up.
Mary Dutcher, last person signed up. And then if people would like to just make a brief 1 or 2 minute comment, we can do that, and then we'll wrap up. Ms. Dutcher.
I want to thank all of you for coming today. My name is Mary Dutcher. I'm president of the Homeowners Association in Gilchrist, Oregon, which is Klamath County. We have approximately 120 homes in the Homeowners Association. At one time, those homes were all occupied by people that worked at the mill. Now the mill, because the jobs no longer exist, are owned by retired people and people from the valley and different places that have bought them as rentals or as summer homes. I'm also the wife of a gentleman who is now unemployed that worked for the mill. He has 2 years till retirement, which is kind of a bad time to become unemployed. When they talk about the reported unemployment figures, they don't bother to mention the fact of the people that are no longer receiving unemployment. It just gives the people that are on the unemployment rolls. We need this Crescent Creek Resort in Klamath County because our businesses are suffering. We need the jobs and we need the revenue. As an example, I know it's not proper to bring church into state, but as an example, I belong to a church that was 50 years old in October of 2008 that is now facing closing their doors because of lack of people that live there anymore, where the same church that is also in our parish at Sun River brings in thousands of dollars every Sunday because of the population and the people that live there. I don't understand why the criteria can't be done per county instead of a blanket effect. I, like Terry Anderson, don't understand how a decision that has gone through the proper application process and was approved can now be reversed because people who may not even live in Klamath County are against it. We need it in Klamath County, and I think each county should be handled separately and by the people of the county. They know best what they need. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming to testify. Thank you to everyone who has come and given us your points of view. I want to also publicly thank the staff people who have given up their Saturdays to help this committee hearing be possible, Ms. Cheyenne Ross, Mr. Joshua Hoyt, and my two assistants, Mr. Derek Bradley and Amy Abbott, who came to help us and make this process go as well as it has gone. I also want, for the record, to have Vice Chair Garrett just acknowledge written testimony we received from people who could not attend but who want their comments included in our record for this bill. Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have the following written testimony to acknowledge for the record. From Deschutes County, Toby Bayard, Tamara Collard from Columbia County, James and Dory Delp from a location not provided, Wendy Krebs from Deschutes County, Don Mangelli from Washington County, Patton and Norma Pritchard from unknown location, Ann Snyder from Ashwood, Oregon, Court Vaughn from Deschutes County, C. William and Bonnie Boyd from Deschutes County, Lori Craighead actually did testify, but we also have written testimony from Deschutes County, Andy High from the Central Oregon Builders Association, George Hoffman from Benton County, Nick Littlejohn from Portland, Dave Nissen from Bend, Sheila with no last name from Harbor, and Judy Zare from Portland.
Thank you, Representative. Would members of the committee or our two legislative colleagues, anyone care to give 1 or 2 minutes of comments or thoughts?
Are we going to have time for Michael Morrissey to come back for a question?
Let's do that right now.
Yeah.
Excellent idea, Representative Clem. It's a good thing you're here with us. Mr. Morrissey?
You may be
Representative
only,
Clem?
You may be the only one who thinks that in the whole world, Madam Chair. But, Michael, one of the speakers characterized that the DLCD person, that's you, I think, said that they're mapped. And I think that really, if you could highlight on the status of that draft map, I would call it. It's in the Supreme Court and under Luba remand, I would say. So is it really mapped?
The mapped is an approved county map. It is on appeal. It has not been acknowledged by DLCD. I think I parsed that out correctly. I'm going to look at my friend Doug. Okay.
Thank you for that.
So the mapping is in an interim status, approved by the county.
So it has cleared one review governing board, but it hasn't been completely perfected.
Which would be acknowledged
okay.
by the DLCD.
Thank you. Thanks for that clarification. Shall we start, defer to the Senate, since we are mere lowly House members here, Senator Telfer?
I did not say that. That did not come from my lips.
My tongue is firmly implanted here in my cheek.
Well, I first want to say that I think it's extraordinary, number one, to have the House Committee on Land Use here in Central Oregon. I think it's admirable to take the time in the snowy season to come over here. And in addition to that, I think it's admirable to invite a senator to join you, and I am very, very appreciative of that. I am here today because I represent Deschutes County, District 27, and I, as well as everybody in the state when we start voting on things. And so I was here today to listen, and if there is additional information you want to submit to me, I'm here to listen to your concerns. I represent you, and I will vote accordingly.
Thank you. Representative Clem?
Just briefly, I came out and chaired a subcommittee last October on destination resorts. A lot of you have seen me before on this issue. I learned a lot then. I've learned more now. Whoever it was who recommended the statewide area of critical concern at that October hearing, be aware that you're the one responsible entirely for this process that's now going on, because that's where the idea came from. I think the governor is getting blamed or credited, and it's really a member of the public from this community who brought that up in October. I'd never even heard the term before, and I relayed it to the governor's office. So know that the public input matters, that things you say really matter. And my personal view is that we need to take a look at this broader issue of destination resorts, and I'm happy to consider, you know, the bills that we've got in front of us and the testimony heard today, and would encourage people to tune in to the legislature via website or come on over for additional hearings. I'm just glad we got to come out and do this. And thank you all for coming once again to provide some input for us.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of comments. One is it's enlightening every time I have attended a hearing of this type, whether it's ways and means or land use. And I often say to people at town halls and those kind of things, please stay engaged. Today proves that citizens still find government both valuable and necessary, and engaging is quite important. I think in that we are dealing with land use, I'm most appreciative of those landowners, business owners, and folks that this really isn't their job. They're here to talk about land today that affects them and their business and family. Some are here and getting paid to do that, and that's also important. But I love the fact that so many have come just as citizens and said, here's what's important to me. Some of my favorite comments, though maybe not land use related, was a woman who spoke from down in the Gilcrest community and talked about things good communities are made up of. And stacking someone's wood when they've had a heart attack or any of the other things. I just hope as Oregonians we were listening closely to that and we might all emulate some of those comments in our own communities.
Thank you. And again, I've been neglectful in not asking my witnesses to identify their county of residence. We all know that Senator Telfer is from these parts. Representative Clem?
Yeah, I, Brian Clem, I represent a portion of Salem.
Bruce Hanna, I represent Douglas and Lane counties.
Thank you. Shall we switch over to Representative Stigler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I want to thank the Chair for being willing to bring this process over here to Central Oregon. You know, we're in tight budgetary times, lean times, but I think it's vitally important, as hopefully the willingness of this committee shows, to come to the people. That's really what this process is all about. What the legislature does is the people's work, and as corny and trite as that might sound, that is what we're all about. So I think it's vitally important when we get opportunities to get out and about and out of the Capitol and away from sort of the reverberation of and the cacophony that occurs over in the halls of the Capitol. And I want to extend my appreciation to you, the citizens of this broad area we call Central Oregon, for coming out today and being willing to spend some of your Saturday letting the folks on this committee know what you think about this very important issue. As I think everybody can see from the testimony here today, there is a variety of opinion, there's a variety of impact, there's a variety of emotion involved here, and I think it's vitally important that we hear from you citizens. So thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, everybody who was here today.
Thank you. Representative Wingert.
Oh, you've got your own.
Thank you. My name is Matt Winger, and I represent House District 26, which is Wilsonville and Sherwood, Bull Mountain. It's areas of Metro Portland. I want to thank you all for coming out. This is my first term in the legislature, and I'm a third-generation Oregonian, but born and raised in the metropolitan area. And I have spent many days and weeks in Central Oregon, and I think it's a beautiful country, and I relish any excuse, even if it's a government committee hearing, to come out and spend some time out here with you folks. I learned a lot. I always learn a lot from listening to my fellow Oregonians. I probably bring more cynicism to the process, and which is probably not a good idea, not a good thing for my age. But something was said in the committee today about a concern that local governments can be short-sighted, and I want to assure you that your state government is just as capable of being short-sighted.
Representative Garrett.
Representative Wingert is a hard act to follow. I'm Chris Garrett. I represent House District 38, which includes Lake Oswego and part of the city of Portland. I've been coming up to Central Oregon for most of my life, and I love it up here. Happy to be here, and I want to thank you all for sharing your different perspectives. I came into this hearing not knowing what we ought to do about destination resorts in Oregon. And after hearing the testimony today, the only thing I know for sure is that I still don't know what we ought to do about destination resorts in Oregon. But you've given us a lot to think about. As Senator Telfer said, we are here to listen, and I've been listening carefully, and I appreciate you all being here to help us learn. Thank you.
Thank you. My name's Mary Nolan. I represent a district that includes downtown Portland, the riverfront in Portland, OHSU, Portland State, and some very small and poor neighborhoods as well. So while my district isn't very large geographically, it is quite diverse economically. I appreciate the thoughtfulness that you have put into the testimony you've given us, and I particularly appreciate that you could sit at the witness table and disagree pretty strongly with each other and do it in a thoughtful and civil manner. I tried to take notes of the testimony, and then I've I will try to summarize some of the things I heard. Please forgive me if I haven't captured exactly everything you said, but I'll go back and review the written testimony. And some of my colleagues have referenced the diversity and the contradiction in some of the testimony we've heard. We heard people concerned about rural economic vitality. We've also heard people concerned about water supplies and the adequacy of aquifers and some conflicts and tension there. Some people valuing the property tax revenue and the lodging tax revenue that resorts provide. I heard about conflicts between resorts and a rural economy, particularly as it relates to farm and ranch land and forestry. I also heard people expressing hope of what economic or what destination resorts might bring for a rural economy, particularly relating to jobs and revenue. I heard some people express a preference for local decision-making. I heard someone make a very specific proposal for a regional decision-making process. I heard others express a preference for state-level decision-making. And for decisions made at the state level, I heard some of you express a preference for the legislature deciding things and putting decisions in statute, and I heard others expressing a preference for a little more flexibility that the commission could have if decisions aren't articulated explicitly in statute. I heard some people favoring a moratorium on destination resorts. I heard other people favoring some limits on resorts, and I heard people saying there should be no limits. I heard people talking about concerns about containing sprawl. I heard a lot of talk about concerns about infrastructure, transportation, congestion, the cost of infrastructure, and who pays those costs. And did I mention water? Because I heard that a lot today. I heard concerns about impacts of resorts on wildlife and on the costs of cities and other special service providers, particularly firefighting in remote areas. There may have been other specific messages that you wanted me to hear, and I hope I will capture them in the written testimony. Clearly, there is not unanimity in the audience about what should be done on the subject of destination resorts. And to carry Representative Wingert's assertions, not so much about cynicism, but I will assure you that there is not unanimity at the moment on your land use committee on what we should do about this. But we will spend some time talking about it, and we will learn from each other and from you. I do think there are some things that I heard consensus about or near consensus about. And they are that the process should be done in public, that it should be an open process, that we should keep our eyes focused on the long term, and that whatever we do should end up with clarity. I think even on our panel we can agree to those goals, even if we disagree about the final words that end up in the statute. You have helped inform the decisions we will make on your behalf, and I thank you for the time you've put into helping us with this decision. Thank you for your attention. We are adjourned. Oh, maybe we're not adjourned.
We came all this way.
Yeah.
And Ms. Killingsworth.
Yeah, I'm landing.
Oh, yeah, she's at Harvard right now.
Well, I'm here.
I would be happy to do that. Please, yes, come testify. Mickey Killingsworth.
And I brought lots of stuff.
Excellent.
I want to tell her a time limit.
She knows a two-minute time limit. She's testified before.
Right.
And name and county, please.
Mickey Killingsworth, Jefferson County, 798 Southeast Dover Lane. I'm here bearing testimony for Jefferson County Farm Bureau and Gary Harris. And he requested that I give Chair Nolan a copy and representing Clem a copy for the House Ag, and that's to do with the hearings that were last week. Can I sort them out after?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'll give you my testimony. Jefferson County Farm Bureau's testimony overview, they have attachments when they testified October 15th before the LCDC Commission and Interman House Ag Natural Resource Committee, and also their testimony that they gave Thursday night. And they thought you'd like to see that for the record on how they feel about destination resorts being sited in their ag zone. So we have those. My testimony is pretty simple. Dear Chairwoman Nolan, committee members, after reviewing the language in HB 227, I am opposed to removing the language on siting criteria from statute on destination resorts. I do not support DLCD and LCDC moving everything to rulemaking. The rule existed first and then the statute. I do support Section 7, 8, and 9 on page 6. I support using the exception process and doing away with mapping for super-siting destination resorts. The exception process worked well for years, and once the mapping process was allowed is when you have seen citizens clamoring to you as legislators at committee hearings to hear their pleas for help in stopping resorts under super-siting. The number of bills this legislative session trying to address destination resorts is up to 6, or is it 8 now? This number of bills shows that the problems and concerns by citizens are real. DLCD has an opportunity every session to bring forth language and bills such as this one to the legislature. They also have rule authority now. There is a stigma surrounding DLCD, which carries over to the commission, and it appears that DLCD is tarnished and not trusted because they always have had the tools to address problems, yet walk a thin line in public opinion and trying to work with local governments. The agency is always dealing with political pressures. Their budget has been used to tie their hands, so the work that needed done just seemed to never get done. You have a commission that is made up of political appointees as well as the director of DLCD. The trust is in you as elected legislators, not DLCD or LCDC. Yes, there are problems with how destination resorts are cited now. The concerns around them being rural subdivisions are real. How to fix that is fairly easy by changing the housing overnight ratio. You just don't have housing other than that needed for workers, and you have only overnight lodging in townhouses or lodge hotel type accommodations. The other concern is bonding and funding. When farm dwellings were first being cited, it was by proposed income, not actual income. The data showed the blatant abuse of approvals that never became farms, so the standard was changed to show the income up front from the farm. This could be done with overnight lodging being built first, and the number of permanent homes for sale would be based upon the overnight lodging income.
Could you summarize?
Okay. Summary. The other... basic in summary, I don't support them changing it, and we want ODA and Department of Forestry, I want them and any other trained agency officials to sign off the approval, not LCDC, and not only be allowed to give testimony to the local governments. The agencies should, that are trained by the state, should sign off first instead of having to testify before a governing body and then pay fees to appeal to LUBA and the courts if the local governing body ignores the concerns and recommendations of the state agency.
Thank you for taking the time, especially in the middle of your lambing season. We appreciate it. Last call. Anybody else? Now we're adjourned.